Now may the words of my lips and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. On this Sunday, when we celebrate our patronal festival and commemorate the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of Jesus, I would like us to look at some words in St. John's Gospel, which perhaps make us realise the context of her life. You see, we find in John's Gospel his account of the meeting of Jesus with the Samaritan woman at the well. And he records in chapter 4, verse 27, "Just then his disciples came. They marvelled that he was talking to a woman." They marvelled that he was talking to a woman. You see, Jesus lived in a temporal and religious society where women were definitely second-class citizens in both. And yet, Jesus treated both men and women as equals. I often find that many people, even those who know their Bible well, don't seem to realise the importance of what is in the Gospels in this respect. There are four things which would have made an amazing impact on Jesus' ministry amongst those who saw and heard him with regard to women. And if you look at the Gospels in this respect, you may find yourselves surprised too. First is the fact that in practical ministry terms, women were just as likely as men to receive Jesus' help in their lives. There are so many examples that it would take a long time to list them all. They start from the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, Jairus' daughter, the woman with the issue of blood, the bent-over woman healed on the Sabbath, the woman caught in adultery, and so on. There are many, many instances of Jesus reaching out to women. Here there were no barriers in society which Jesus felt could not be crossed. Women may have been treated as second-class citizens in Palestine, but they were not treated in the same way by Jesus. And second is the way women feature in the parables of Jesus. There are many of them too. The woman with the lost coin, the widow who nags the judge until he acts as a judge should, the widow's mite, the woman kneading yeast into the dough, the wise and foolish virgins, and so on. Again, there's a very long list. And we should not be surprised that widows feature here strongly, because Judaism placed a special burden on the Jews to look after the widows and orphans. Otherwise, they would have been disadvantaged in a society because they had no rights. And Jesus use here carries a touch of irony, because the Jewish leaders may have preached all about this, but it certainly wasn't practiced. Jesus not only highlighted the gap between word and deed, but he elevated women to the level of men in his teaching. Thirdly is the way women responded to all this. You see, we have this picture in our minds of Jesus going round with his disciples. There's that band of men going round, all blokey. No, we forget that his ministry was supported by and followed by many women too. Oh yes, women travelled with Jesus, the most well-known being the wife of Chusa, King Herod's steward, in Luke chapter 8, verse 3. We tend to think of a woman's place as being in the home in a male-dominated society. And yes, that did happen with Jesus. It's clear, for example, that he often used the home of Mary and Martha when he was in the Jerusalem area. In fact, they and their brother Lazarus seem to have been special friends. So even in such a society, women followed Jesus, were taught by him, and helped him in many practical ways. And lastly is the climax to the gospel story, the way in which the resurrection was discovered. You recall that the women folk were there at the crucifixion, as well as some of the disciples. But on that Easter morning, it was the women going to the tomb who discovered that Jesus was risen. And off they went to tell the disciples, who rushed to the tomb to see if this was true. Now, our minds take that completely at face value. But of course, we have to remember that at that time, a woman's testimony as a witness would at best be regarded as unreliable, if taken at all. How ironic then that the first witnesses to the joy of knowing the risen Lord were women. The disciples rushed to the tomb, not only out of curiosity, but also to act as credible witnesses, should it be true. For myself, it's accounts and aspects like this which give such credibility to the Gospels. No one making it up would have given women such a prominent role in their account of Jesus' life. If they did, it would arouse suspicions and raise questions about authenticity. And undoubtedly, questions were raised in the early church. But many of the women were still alive to testify to the truth of the gospel story, including Mary, his mother. Now, if that's something which you've never thought about before, then don't be surprised. These aspects are not given great prominence because the Gospels are written to be read in male-dominated societies. The record of women in them don't leave out of the pages, as it were, until you read carefully. The words I used earlier as a text, they marvelled that he was talking to a woman, are not perhaps familiar to us, which should make us stop and think. Not because this is a sermon about women's lib, it definitely isn't, but because so often we fail to grasp the gospel message in its entirety. Unlike the little girl who was chosen to play the angel in the school nativity play, she learnt her words to perfection, and her proud parents' faces shone when she proclaimed her lines to Mary. "Don't worry, Mary. You're going to have a lovely baby boy, and you will call him Jesus." But their faces fell when she added, with a childlike logic, "But I wouldn't get too attached to him, because he'll be dead by Easter." Yes, we often fail to grasp the gospel message in its entirety because of the influence of the society in which we live. No wonder Jesus reminded people that it had to be relevant to the time in which they heard it. Like Mary, we're faced with constant challenge as our lives evolve. Like Mary, we live in a society which judges us by its own standards. Being a vicar, one is constantly reminded by comments of surprise when people discover that vicars are allowed to do certain things. They are allowed to have a sense of humour. And yes, I know, mine can be a bit of an acquired taste. They are allowed to smile, that they see others' offspring as the church of today and not the church of tomorrow, that they also struggle with the issues of the day. The list is long. Yes, we do have to remind ourselves from time to time of the gospel message that no one is a second-class citizen in God's eyes. No one is excluded from the way in which God can be seen to be working in the world today through the power of the Holy Spirit. And no one should be handicapped by human obstacles and rules from following Christ. It takes a lot of humility to recognise that our prejudices and attitudes can prevent us from putting that into practice. And that is where Mary's example should inspire us to remember that. For over the centuries, her words in the Magnificat, which we heard in our Gospel today, have remained fresh and relevant. It's why they've been a staple content in evensong services over the centuries. Yes, like her, we can praise God for what we receive at his hand. But we can recognise the challenges she speaks of. For when she said, "He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts," it represents a moral challenge to us to renounce the pride which is in all of us. And when she said, "He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly," it represents a social revolution, reminding us that practical Christianity applies to the society we live in. And finally, when she said, "He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty," it represents an economic revolution, that we can no longer be part of an acquisitive society where each seeks to gain whatever they can get. Yes, those words of Mary remind us of the revolutionary nature of our faith, which her Son revealed to us. May the truth of those words dwell richly in our hearts, making us realize that the good news is for all, and it's our task to show that in our lives, certain that, like Mary, we can face the future when it appears dark and unknown with confidence, knowing that love is the key. For if we reflect the love which God has for each one of us, his children, in our lives, others will glimpse it, as they did through Mary, and still do, and glimpse something of the magnitude of God's love for us all. Amen.